there we sat down. Yeah, we wept when we remember Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they carried us away captive, required of us a song. And they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget thy cunning, forget her cunning. And if I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth, if I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I need your help tonight. Lord, I thank you for grace and mercy. Lord, I thank you for the truth of the Word of God. Lord, I thank you for our church home, our church family, Lord. Thank you for the dear saints of God that you've placed here at this place. Lord, I thank you for my pastor. Lord, I thank you that you set a man of God over us to preach us truth. Lord, thank you for the Word of God tonight. I pray, Lord, that you give us what I've studied, Lord, that you'd help somebody. Help me, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Here we find the children of Israel in a sad state. We see that they find themselves sat down remembering things of old. A lot of times we sit around and we think about the things of old, of how things used to be, especially when things that were back there are better than where we are now. Anybody got a witness there? And I remember when I first got saved, and I remembered how somebody could have hit me with a brick, and it wouldn't have knocked me out of this thing. And then as I got onto it further, I remember how somebody said something. It may have hurt your feelings, but you go back and you remember where you was and how close you were to God. And you may be closer to God then than you are now. And you may be closer now than you were then. We should be closer now than we were back then. But a lot of times we find ourselves going backwards in the Christian race. And I'm here to tell you tonight that a lot of times there's some ups in this thing being saved, but there's also a thing called downs. Can I get a witness right there? Sometimes it may be down so low that you don't know that there's even an up. See, the children of Israel here found themselves in a place where it was real low. And they look back on the things that used to be. You say, what is Zion? You see, God used to, in the Old Testament economy, blessed them with physical blessing. He blessed them with lands. He blessed them with nations. When he blessed Abraham, he made him a father of all nations, to be carried on his name. And he gave them physical blessing. He gave them cattle. He gave them lands that they didn't even have to fight over, just because they was both God and the children of Israel and Zion. But let me tell you what he does in the New Testament economy. He gives us spiritual blessings. And those spiritual blessings flow from the wounds of Christ. And I'm here tonight because I'm spiritually blessed. And I'm saved. And I thank him for that. I want to preach tonight just a little while on being a captive Christian. Captive Christian. See, the children of Israel find themselves taken captive. The things that they once knew, the things that they once enjoyed, the things of the joy of God that they once knew down in their soul were now a thing of the past. Let me tell you this, it's always easier to say what you would have done, but when it comes down to your house, it's a little different. You see, I notice this, when things hit home with me, it's a little bit different than what I might have been saying when somebody else was going through that or walking through that. The children of Israel looked back and they thought things were better, but they actually now were actually a lot worse than they were than they could ever imagine. And they said they sat down and wept when they remembered Zion, a captive Christian. I want to say, first of all, you'll see the sad misery of a captive Christian. You see, that this thing that they stole their song. God had given them lands. God had given them the law. And God had been their Lord. But you know what they did? They defiled the land. They defiled the law. And they defiled their Lord. And let me tell you what, that's why that, in the Hebrews chapter 11, the Hall of Faith, it said they were still pilgrims and strangers down here. Can I get a witness for somebody who don't think they fit down at the Walmart? You get down to the shopping mall and you say, well, I don't really fit in here. Then you go down to the Walmart and it gets even worse. And if you sat out there at Best Buy on Thanksgiving Day or Thanksgiving Black Friday, you may have thought that you wasn't even in the right country or in the right world. Let me tell you what, I'm a stranger down here. I'm glad I've got representation up in heaven. And I want to represent heaven down here and do it well. The children of Israel found themselves taken captivity. I found that in my own life. You see, there's things that go on down here that I can't control, and it takes my mind captive. You see, when they look back at the things that God had done, they said it's better back then than it is now. And they remembered those things. Let me tell you what, this world can take your song away from you. You see, there's disturbances, there's noise going on around you each and every day. And let me tell you what it can lead to. It can lead to a sad misery. They said they sat down and they wept when they remembered Zion. A lot of times we find ourselves in that situation. We find ourselves, we're looking back and things that were better back then than they are now. And the devil will tell you everything you want to do to make you quit. He'll sit on your shoulder and say, well, you remember how it was back there? But look how it is now. He won't tell you that you can get up. He won't tell you that. He'll just say, stay down and roll over and play dead. It's kind of like a man. He told me this story one time. He said he was out witnessing, and he began to go around his neighborhood, and he said, I'm going to win my neighborhood. And he began to witness. He'd go door to door, and he'd knock. And each house he went to, he didn't get the responses that he thought he ought to get. And he began, and then he got frustrated. He went to the last house, and he knocked on the man's door, and the man come up, and he said, sir, will you go to church with me? He said, I ain't go. And he asked him, he said, what church are you going to? He said, well, here's the name of my church, and he gave him the name of the church. He said, I ain't going down there with all them hypocrites. And he began to name all the people he thought was hypocrites. You know what the guy said? He said, why don't you just come down there and make one more of them? Sometimes we feel like doing that when we get frustrated. When we sat down and we look back and things don't go the way that we think they ought to go. I want to say this. A lot of people say they've never been disappointed. I tell you what, I've served in this race long enough, there's going to be some disappointments. But let me tell you this, I will add to that statement, I've never been disappointed in God, because I've been disappointed in what I didn't think when I looked at myself and I thought things should turn out the way I wanted it. But I look back on the things that God did. I couldn't understand it when I got saved, the things that God had put in my life, lined them up one by one, prearranged by a sovereign God to put me into a church, to get me saved, the things that He did. I couldn't see them back then, but I can see it now. Israel was looking back instead of looking forward. And that's the way our churches find, that's the way a captive Christian tonight finds himself. They always find themselves looking back and never looking forward. And let me tell you what it'll turn into. It'll turn into a sad misery. All they'll do is sit down and weep, and they'll be stagnant. Why sit we here till we die? And a lot of Christians, they find themselves taken over by captivity. And it's a sad misery. The second thing I want to look at is a stinging memory. Look what it said. When we remembered Zion. Let me tell you what, when the glory of God, if you've ever been in a glory church and you leave out of one, you'll always remember that glory. You'll always remember what God has met with you. There's been times I was riding down the road and God Himself would come in my truck and He'd flood that truck out. You know what I do? I thirst for that. Each time I get in that truck, you know what I want to happen? I want that glory to fall down in that church, in my truck, and I can look around and see things God has blessed me with, and people meet me in the road, and I'll be crying or whatever, and be waving my hands, and they may not know what's going on. But let me tell you what, that I want to remember what God has done for me. Let me say, I don't want to lift my head in shame when God comes back. I want to be on the right side with Him, and I want to be hang my head up when He comes back. A sad misery. Let me tell you what, if we're not careful and captive Christianity, we'll find ourselves in a stinging memory of the past. You see, you'll always remember joy. You see, what is joy? Joy is not a temporal thing. Happiness is temporal. If I were to come in here tonight and give each one of you a $100 bill, they'd say, man, he's the best preacher we ever had. But let me tell you once, once you spent that $100, and it wouldn't take you but one trip down to the Piggly Wiggly and it'd be gone. You say, well, where's that preacher at now? And all that happiness would be gone. Let me tell you what, you don't have to have a smile on your face every time somebody sees you to have joy in the Lord. You say, we've got this thing backwards. See, joy is eternal. Joy is something that only Jesus Himself can put inside of you. And the world looks on you and say, I wonder how He can walk through that. I wonder how He can go through that. I wonder how He went through that and He had a joy down in His soul and a peace in His heart. Let me tell you what, that's the only thing God can do. You see, the children of Israel find themselves looking back on a time that they have more joy in the past than they did right then. A lot of times when you're taking yourself, I'm preaching by experience tonight because I've been taken captive before in my mind and in my thought pattern, you know, because of the devil. And not only that, but the things in the world coming on around me and been taken captive. See, I know what it's like to be in church and not be in church. Can I get a witness right there? Looks like there's more honesty on this side of the building tonight. I can get a witness right there. It's easy to be in church and not be in church. See, out of formality, out of tradition, out of we gotta go, or every Sunday I want to be here. When God saved me, you know what He did? He put a new song in my heart. And I want the world to see it. And I don't want the world to take my song out of me. You know what the children of Israel said? When we remembered Zion. You see, they had a stinging memory of the past. I remember a story in Luke chapter number 15 about two young men that one would leave the father. He said, give me all that you got. Go ahead and give me all my inheritance. Let me tell you what the Bible said. It said when he came to himself, he remembered all that stuff that was down at the Father's house. Let me tell you what, you may choose to leave this church, you may run down the road, but let me tell you what, you'll never forget when the glory of God has fell in this place. You'll always remember it. The children of Israel remembered when the joy was full. They remember when the glory of God was streaming down, and like the dew down Aaron's beard, they knew that, and they thirsted for that. You see, because if you ever experience the glory, you'll always thirst for it again. That's why when I get in my truck, I'm looking for the glory to fall. When we meet here on Sunday morning, I'm looking for the glory to fall. When we meet here on Wednesday night, I'm looking for God to do something special, and not in my life, but in each life and everybody in this whole church to do something special. You see, God wants to do something special. He wants to put things in us that we'll always remember. See, it was a stinging memory of the past. They look back on that old prodigal son. He remembered that fatty cat. He remembered he remembered everything. Let me tell you what, it made one brother mad, but it made that one boy, he sure appreciated it more than he ever had when he come back home. You say why? He had a stinging memory of the past. See, a lot of people my age don't even know about the glory of God. It's sadly leaving this country. It's sadly leaving the church. It's sadly leaving the people of God. But let me tell you what, if you've ever been around it, you'll always thirst for it again. Don't make it a stinging memory of the past as these did. They sat down and they wept when they remembered Zion. Not only that, you'll see it's a sad misery, a stinging memory. I want to say thirdly, it's a sarcastic mockery. Look down in verse number 2. It said this, "We hanged our hearts upon the willows in the midst thereof, for there they carried us away captive, required of us a song. And they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion." You know what they had done? They had hung their harps on the willow tree and sat down. People that should have been singing. People that should have been praising God. People that should have looked back on all that God had done for them and said, "I got a lot to thank Him for." Last week was Thanksgiving. And I heard a man say this one time. He said, "What would you have if you only had what you thank God for? What would you have if you only had what you thank God for? I wonder what we'd have. Would you have a bunch or would you have little?" And that began to speak volumes in my heart. And each time I get down to pray, you know what I want to do? I want to thank Him. You see, I don't have to be here tonight. I could be in jail. I could be in hell when my back broke. I remember where God's brought me out of. I remember where I was before I got saved. And I remember how God changed my life. And how this sarcastic mockery, I don't want him to look back and say, "He used to be a preacher, or he used to be a deacon, or he used to be a Sunday school teacher, or he used to be faithful to the house of God." I want him to look back and say, "He stayed faithful all these years. And because he was faithful, I want to be faithful." You see, there's a generation downstairs that won't need you to be faithful, so they'll be faithful. If you hit or miss, you know what they'll do? They'll grow up and hit or miss, just like you will. Like father, like son. I remember a picture that I took of my son one time. Well, I didn't take it, my wife did. He knew where I shaved. And somebody had bought him a Superman kit. And he happens to be up here tonight, so he'd probably get embarrassed. But he remembered where I shaved at. And it, my wife, I remember snapping that picture in the mirror. And where I shaved at, you know where he shaved at? That same place. He had a Superman kit, didn't have a blade on it, but she's got a picture of him. He had seen his daddy shaving. And he wanted to shave like his daddy. Let me tell you what, there's little children downstairs that are going to be just like you. If you hit or miss, they're going to hit or miss. If you're faithful, they'll be faithful. They'll say, there's something inside of my mom and my daddy that I want. I remember my brother, I'd get up at night to go to the bathroom, and he'd be down on the floor praying. I thirst for that stuff. All night prayer. He'd be in there reading his Bible. He'd be praying. He'd be preaching. And I didn't understand it at the time. I remember tripping over him, going to the, back and forth through the house at night. He didn't even care. He's like, he wasn't even there. He'd be so concentrated in prayer. And I wanted to be just like him when I got saved. Let me tell you what, the children of Israel looked back here and they saw that there was something that they had been missing because they had been carried away captive in Babylon. I wonder tonight if there'd be something inside of you that had carried you away captive. I remember the story of Samson there in Samson, you remember the story of him and Delilah? You remember Samson was a Nazarite, separated from birth. He was separated unto God. His mom and daddy had taught him up, raised him up, and brought him upright, and told him all the things to do. And God had separated him from the womb to be a servant of God. And let me tell you what he did. He married a woman of the Philistines, and it got him away from God. And he forgot where his strength came from. And let me tell you what. They took all of his strength and the Philistines swarmed in on him and they put his eyes out. They made a mockery of him. I want to say this tonight. You're not above falling. Each day I live, I don't want to fall. I pray to the Lord. I say, keep me straight. Keep my mind right where it needs to be that I don't fall. I've seen some people, they thought they was above falling. The Bible said this, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. And I've put that down in my heart because I want to run this race right. I want to finish this race right. I don't want to be like Samson did. He put his eyes out. You say, what do you do if you fall? You know what Samson did? The Bible said Samson wist not that the Lord had even departed from him. He didn't even know God was gone from him. He was just assumed God was going to help him. And when they took his hair, and he lost all of his strength. But you know what Samson did? It ain't about how you fall. Let me tell you what this thing's about. It's how you get up. You see, I've noticed this in my life. I'm going to fall. You know what it is? I got to get back up. We all fall short of the glory of God. Let me tell you what. But it does matter how long you stay down. You ought to be able to bounce back up. You say, how am I going to do that? I remember the story of a man in the Olympics in 1992. His name was Derek Redmond. It's 1992 in Barcelona, Spain. And he began to run around the track. He was from Great Britain, and he was in the 400-meter race. That man started off, and they had all those track people lined up, and they shot that gun up in there, and he was supposed to take off. When he started into the first turn, and he got on that first straightaway, he still had several hundred meters to go. His hamstring snapped on his leg, and he fell down. All those other runners done finished the race before he even got back up. You know what that man did? They thought about sending the ambulance out there to get him right off the track. But he began to think about all the training he had had. He began to think about all the things he had learned all the things he was going to do. You know what he did? He got up. And as he began to walk around that track, let me tell you what happened. There was a man in the crowd called Jimmy Redmond, which was his father. You know what he did? He went and grabbed his son, and he finished that race around that track with his son with that torn hamstring. You say, did he come in first? No, he didn't come in first, but let me tell you what he did. He finished the right race, and he finished with his head right, and his head up in the air, and everybody that he knew had respect for him and began to give him hugs. All those competitors that he had the most respect for that man because he finished the race with his head up. He didn't want to finish with a sarcastic mockery. Samson, get back to my story with Samson. He said, one more time. Let me tell you what they did to Samson. Samson, they put him in prison and they began to make him grind at the mill. Back in the Bible days, it was a shame for a man of Samson's strength to be grinding at the mill. There's a very familiar story over in Matthew chapter number 24. It talks about two women grinding at the mill because the two women, it was a woman's job to be grinding the mill, the corn down to at the mill, and they had put Samson doing a lady's job. A man that was once burly, he was a man's man. He had all the strength. And you know what he did? He did not stay down. He got up. He took a lad and he said, "Put me by the pillars of the building." And he said this, "Lord, one more time." And he pushed those pillars down. Let me say, Samson may have fell down, but let me tell you what, he didn't stay down. He got up. The children of Israel said, "Captive Christian, don't be careful because it'll become a sarcastic mockery." And then lastly, I want to close with this. In verse number 4, you'll see a sad misery, a stinging memory, a sarcastic mockery, a silence melody. Let me look at verse number 4. It said, "How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land?" If you're not careful, let me tell you what the devil will do. He'll say, "That old song you got, it'll play out." And then for long, you'll begin to believe him. Let me tell you what. You know what God wants you to do? What Jesus wants you to do? He wants you to sing His song in a strange land. I remember this, the first time you'll see this mentioned in the Bible of a song is found in Exodus number 15. You know what it was? It was the children of Israel. They had been marched out of Egypt and they had crossed that Red Sea on dry land, and the Bible said they had sung a song. The book of Revelation said, "We'll sing that song over there." It was a song of deliverance. Every person in here that's been saved, I'm talking about on Wednesday night, captive Christianity. It's very easy to get into. We ought to sing a song of deliverance. Well, because God's brought us up out of the grave. He's brought us up out of hell. We ought to be in the flames. We ought to be smoldering away. But let me tell you what, God's brought us out. He saved us by His marvelous grace. Now thank Him for that. Silence melody. You say, what can silence my song? Can suffering silence my song? Turn over in Romans 8 for just a second. Romans chapter number 8. You say, well, can suffering, can it silence my song? Let me show you what Paul said about it. Found in Romans 8. The Bible says this in 8 and 28. It says, "And we know that all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose." Look down in verse number 35. It says this, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword, as is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter." Paul said, could all this suffering take me down? He said, no. He said this in verse 37, "Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us." You say, well, what else could get me down like that? I remember a story of a man named David. And I remember David's sin with Bathsheba. You know what got him down? Was sin. The only thing that I found in the Bible that will keep you down is sin. And sin will keep you longer than you ever wanted to keep you. Turn back over to Psalm 51. I want you to read what David said. David said this in Psalm 51, verse number 1. He said, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to thy multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me." He said this in verse number 7. "Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow." Here it is. "Make me to hear the joy of gladness, that bones that thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities." He said this in verse 10, "Create me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." Verse 12 says, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and hold me with thy free spirit." Look at this in verse 14. It says this, "Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall do what? Sing aloud of thy righteousness." You know what David did? He acknowledged his sin. You know what he did? He got forgiveness. But he said this. He said, "In my tongue shall I sing aloud of thy righteousness." David got his song back. You say, "I'm here tonight and I fell down and I'm way down low." You see, I know it's easy to be in church and not be in church. And there may be somebody in here tonight that you're here in church, but you're not really not here in church. And the devil's carried you away captivity. You say, "Well, how can I get that back? How can the children of Israel get out of this thing?" I want to say this also. Be careful when you hang your harp on the willow, not to let the willow outgrow you sitting down. Because there may be a time where you can't reach up and grab it. You see, I've seen a lot of people get out of this thing, and they've left the race and made a mockery of the things of God. And the willow tree has grown up. You know what? And they look back on all that time, that glory has fell on them. And they've seen the children of God rejoice. And they've seen God do miraculous things. They've had Red Sea experiences. They've seen God move. And they remember all about that. But that willow has then grown up. And they went back to get it and grab that harp. And guess what? They can no longer reach it. Don't be careful of that tonight. Brother, I'm finishing up. Be careful. Don't let the harp grow up on the willow tree where you cannot reach it. I'll turn it over, Brother Mike.